You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. Homaid Ashitake was born on January 31st, 1979, the very day that the Ayatollah returned to Tehran and which marks the beginning of the Iranian Revolution. When her family immigrated to California, she worked hard to assimilate, eventually living the, quote, American dream, with a Cornell Law School education and a six-figure salary. During the recession of 2008, she reconsidered her path, re-embracing the community achieved in the Iranian village her father was from. The two of them began to make yogurt together, which finally provided a sense of belonging in America. The irony is not lost on Homa. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I have to tell you that I love your yogurt so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I feel really lucky that because of Eataly, we get to eat it.
Yeah. Well, I feel very lucky because of Eataly, we get to make it in California.
So yeah.
I'm glad you like it.
So you write that as a teenager, you were particularly averse to helping in the kitchen. But as you grew, cooking and food became kind of like tools in helping you make sense of your Iranian identity and history. Could you talk a little bit about where you're from and your childhood?
Yeah. So I grew up in Iran until I was seven, and then we immigrated here. And I think there was this stubbornness or this like self-rejection of certain parts of myself as I looked towards wanting so desperately to fit in and wanting so desperately to make friends and wanting so desperately to make sense of myself that like a lot of the foods that, you know, were comfort foods that kind of get under your skin and in your bones as a child, like yogurt or bread or rice or kuku or osh, I turned away from those for a long time. And then as I grew older and as life gets more complicated and more real, you just like your body gravitates towards those foods again. And that's how I felt that, you know, this thing that had always been in the background humming from my heritage showed up so prominently as an adult.
And you didn't only come from Iran to America as an immigrant, but you're from a particular cultural group in Iran.
Yes. So my family is of the Iranian Zoroastrian faith and culture. My parents both originate from Yazd. And when we immigrated here, you know, the phrase birds of a feather flock together, there was an enclave of Iranian Zoroastrians here in Westminster, California. And we joined that group and they became like family and lifelong acquaintances and support system. And this is where we grew up and why we chose Southern California as our home.
Could you talk a bit about the sense of community in your father's village and whether or not you were from an agrarian background or how sort of that agrarian life touched you?
Yeah, so my dad is from an agrarian background. It's his influence heavily that really feeds into my no waste processing of the yogurt. He came from a place and a culture and an economy where every single thing that had nutritional value was used in some way or another. I think initially where I may have balked at it, now I find it to be such an ambitious way to look at the world and such an innovative way to see everything as an opportunity, as a food source, as a sustenance. You know, he grew up in an agrarian society that was very arid. Like Yazd is a very desert climate, and just how they had water and access to irrigation, these were things that I saw as a kid constantly. And even in the summers, we would go back to Iran often. And I would just watch it in the background, kind of paying no mind, not knowing like the richness of the history and the culture and, you know, my own genealogy that I was being witness to.
So you eventually ended up in law school and worked your way towards a high-powered career, but became unfulfilled. And you write that yogurt forces you to slow down. What were the circumstances that led you to creating your own business? And tell us why it became the White Mustache.
It was entirely by accident. Like you said, I was laid off and I ended up, at age 35, living at home with my parents. And I was unemployed. My dad was retired. And actually, his brother, my uncle, had recently passed away. And so there was just like this cloud of grief over our home. And I had an idea to make yogurt. It was a thing that we had been making forever. It was just one single ingredient. Like, I was almost being like lazy and not trying to come up with something more imaginative or exciting. I picked the most basic, simple thing I knew we could make. And I knew it would take so long. Like, making yogurt takes so long and it's tedious. And it would just give us time to sit and be together. And, when we presented this yogurt at farmers markets, it was the people's reaction to the yogurt and the taste of the yogurt that made me realize, oh, I think we're onto something. Because folks were tasting it and like their eyes would light up and they would react to it as if it was like the first time they had eaten yogurt. And I realized this food that I took for granted at home that we made so simply and so artisanally was in fact different than the way that yogurt is so quickly made and put on shelves at grocery stores.
And the name of your business?
Right. So the name of my business is White Mustache, and it's named after my father's now infamous white handlebar mustache.
So before we get into talking about actually making yogurt, I would love us if you could talk about how you kind of jump back into your legal hat to get the business off the ground and how challenging it was. I hate that you had to leave the state to actually have your business take off. Share with us that kind of saga.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, things look like destiny a little bit. At the moment, it was very, very sad for me to have my business not take off in California. And what happened was that after a few months of selling at the farmers markets with my father, we were shut down because California regulations do not allow like human hands to touch the dairy while it's being in process. So from the moment it gets heated up to the moment it turns into yogurt to the moment it's put into jars, it has to be mechanized. And our process was entirely the opposite. It was very human interactive. It was very labor intensive. And it did involve us getting involved in the process to move it to the fridge or to let it rest or to make sure it was incubated at the right temperature. And when we got shut down here, I could have just let it go and I could have let it be easy and I could have moved on to the next thing. But I had found such meaning in this little act of making yogurt with my dad that I was overcome with grief that it would be taken away from me and taken away from me for reasons that weren't right. Like, I was making yogurt with milk I was buying in the grocery store. There could possibly be no risk from a health perspective on why I couldn't make yogurt the way I did. And so, a little bit like a crazy person, I went and engaged pro bono counsel over at Kirkland & Ellis in downtown LA. Michael Shipley and Cal Shabaki took the case on. And for 2 years, I wrote drafts with them, went up to Sacramento, advocated for being able to make yogurt the way we wanted to. And it was after 2 years that, it was going to be me or the law, and the law won. And so I started looking outside the state for homes for myself because I just knew I had to do this.
So you head to Brooklyn because New York has more flexible cottage laws than California, which allowed you to launch a small dairy business there. How did it come to pass that you were able to come back to California and start producing yogurt with Eataly in Century City?
So they built me the perfect clean room in the basement of that Eataly grocery. And I make it right there. Actually, my mom and her cousin, Parveen Afshari, along with Nate and Lena, Luis and Alicia, make yogurt in the basement of that Italy, and we bring it right upstairs and stock the shelves.
Well, so wonderful. So now let's talk about making yogurt. What one of the things that struck me when I first saw your yogurt on the shelf at Italy was the number of different kinds of plain yogurt you make. Could you start off by describing how European, Greek, and Persian style yogurts differ from one another?
Yeah. So the Greek yogurt that we've come to know on shelves is a strained yogurt. That means that some of the whey is drawn from it, and it's that thick, creamy consistency that you could stand a spoon up in. And there's different ways to achieve that consistency. Most often at home, it's done through straining out the whey, and that's how we do it as well. A European style, or what we call Persian style, is it still has that whey in it. So it's just the pure milk incubated and whisked to perfection. I know many cultures other than the Persians make yogurt the way I do, but also many cultures other than the Greeks strain their yogurt. So I feel there's a little bit of a turf war happening there, but I'm grateful to not have to explain what Greek yogurt is and that the legwork was done for me by the time we entered the market.
So what is the most basic technique for making yogurt at home? Like, how many days is the process?
I think if you want to make a plain Persian style yogurt, it could be done overnight and then rest for like maybe a 24-hour period, I would say would be the fastest you can make it. And I would boil the milk the night before. I would cool it down to a temperature that you feel comfortable putting your pinky in. Incubate it with the live probiotics from a previous batch of plain yogurt. Wrap it up in a blanket, let it rest overnight, and the milk will turn into yogurt by morning, at which point I recommend putting that yogurt in the fridge to rest a little bit more. You know, there's very little activity that one has to do except let it just become its most magical version of itself.
And that most magical version of itself has a really exceptional texture, extremely smooth. So once it rests in the fridge, if we're eating it unstrained, Persian style, do we need to do anything else to get that texture?
I would say whisking. I think that's the secret to what we do, is we will whisk the yogurt before we put it into the jars for you.
There have been many articles written on the lakes of whey created by the industrial yogurt complex here in the U.S. I would love it if you would talk about whey, what it is, and what some of the best uses are for it, and your kind of philosophy about it.
So to me, whey is the end result of this magical process. And if you want to get a Greek style yogurt, you'll strain your yogurt, that Persian yogurt that we've taken 24 hours to make. You'll strain it in a fine mesh cheesecloth. And what's happening during that straining process is that drop by drop by drop, this pure liquid, probiotic rich, like calcium, vitamin D, riboflavin rich liquid is coming out. And to me, that's the liquid gold you get at the end of this whole process. The thought that there's pools of it being thrown away to me is as crazy as if, you know, we knew what to do with egg yolks and we're tossing out egg whites and didn't know what to do with them. It's just a lack of imagination and intuitiveness and innovation.
So once you've made the yogurt, what do you do with it?
The one thing with the yogurt that I think we do exceptionally well, and I hope that it catches on, is to have it savory. I know a lot of our flavors even, or a lot of yogurt, is presented as very sweet, but savory yogurt is had for lunch and dinner. I've rarely had yogurt for breakfast. It's mostly with a big meal at lunch or dinner, and it's treated like a condiment. like a third of my plate would be filled with yogurt. It would be rice as a third, a stew as another third, and then yogurt as another third, providing a lot of texture, a lot of coolness, so a different temperature in your mouth.
Often it isn't just yogurt on its own.
Correct. It's the mousseur. The mousseur is the bulb of a Leopoldia flower, and it tastes like shallots. And we rehydrate those and mix it with some salt and put it in the yogurt.
So delicious. I could talk to you for ages, but I have to say goodbye.
That is the best compliment ever. I'm very touched. You have no idea. I've listened to you and your voice for so long, and that you've read and liked my book is too much, really.
Thank you so much, Homa.
Evan, thank you.
That's Homa Dashtaki, owner and founder of White Mustache Yogurt. Her book is Yogurt and Whey, Recipes for an Iranian Immigrant Life. We have a recipe for her Ashi Must, that's a yogurt stew, on our website. That's kcrw.com/goodfood. The Market Report is on deck. Stay with us.